You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Human Rights Commission released a report last Thursday revealing large numbers of New Zealanders are being paid unfairly and unequally. To find out more, I spoke to the president of the National Council of Women in New Zealand, Lisa Lawrence. So the Human Rights Commission has recently released a report on unequal pay statistics in Aotearoa, New Zealand. How does New Zealand fare in regards to the rest of the world when it comes to equal pay?
Yeah, really good question, Zoe. So, I mean, globally, women throughout the world earn about 77 cents in the dollar against every man in the world. So that's when you look at the whole particular planet and how we operate our funding systems. When you look at New Zealand compared to other countries, we rank between 6th and 9th globally, depending on which report you look at globally, out of about 150 countries that are examined.
So nearly 44% of people have reported to being paid less than someone else who does the same job. Which demographics in New Zealand are most likely to be paid unequally?
Isn't that shocking?
I know.
4%. And it's not good enough that that is the perception for so many of our people. When we have a look at the report released by the Human Rights Commission, generally it is people who are earning under $80,000 a year who happen to be women or Pacific Island and or between the ages of 18 and 24, which is actually quite a large group of people that hold that perception of their pay.
What reasons are there for such pay disparity in New Zealand? Is it all rooted in structural or systemic biases against these demographics, or are there more contemporary factors as well?
Yeah, look, really important question, and really important that the country does the analysis on that. And there are a couple of places that have already started that. So the State Services Commission have already started that. Treasury have also done some analysis on that because it has been so pervasive for so long. When they've done the deep dive into the statistics and around the pathways that different people take into their lifetime of work, some of it can be attributed to the choices of jobs that people undertake and the career pathways, but only some. And there is this unexplained, stubborn, persistent, unexplainable percentage for Māori and for Pacific and for Asian and for those that live life with a disability, where the pay gap can't be explained by our life path and life choices. And so that does point to the elephant in the room, which is that we have systems and levers that don't support all New Zealanders to reach their potential.
And people have been talking about unequal pay for quite a long time, and it's still such a substantial issue. Why is it so challenging to address this?
You know, Zoe, the National Council of Women was founded 124 years ago. The very first remit that was put up and passed by the National Council of Women was about equal pay. And here we sit 124 years later, and it's still a problem in our country. So we have a lot to do, and we have a long way to go. We're getting closer and closer to closing the gap. It's going to be another 20 years before we see it truly closed based on gender and then based on ethnicity. So I do think that it's an ongoing conversation and that we are chipping away at it. However, the things that get in the way is our personal stigmatisation of talking about money. Money and sex are the two things that New Zealanders will not talk about with any seriousness. They are in that same package of dirty jokes. And we don't want to deal with how we feel about money. We don't want to deal with how we feel about those particular kinds of awkward, confronting conversations. However, the answers lie in being courageous and having some decent, rational conversations around money. We all say that we're opposed to poverty, but we are not willing to deal with the fact that if we're not paying a living wage as a business owner, we're actually contributing to poverty. So I think there's something in there about us doing a hearts and minds reasonable conversation change that I think probably the country's ready for.
Because the report said that even though a lot of people are experiencing unequal pay, they are afraid to speak up and they don't formally complain. Do you think this is also in that New Zealand attitude to avoid conversations about money?
Partly I do think it is, and partly I think that what you're speaking about there, it references the power imbalance between an employer and an employee. and that at the end of the day, an employee will not risk their job security for an incremental grasp of power that they're fully deserving of. So I think that what that speaks to is the power imbalance that currently exists, and it speaks to where the power lies that we need to change.
Many people have expressed their support of pay transparency to help curb unequal pay. What does pay transparency look like?
There's been a little bit of work done on that, and we've looked internationally for how other countries have done this successfully, because referencing again that stigmatisation and that shame factor we have about talking about money and about sharing our own personal pay rates. Some places have, some countries and organisations have done it in bands. So they will say that they have 5 employees that earn between $80,000 and $100,000, but they won't necessarily label or name the roles that those people have. So there's ways and means of doing that kind of transparency and that ownership of people's incomes coming out of a business that can be done that still preserves that privacy factor. And I also think we need to start looking at pegging and benchmarking, and that can only be more easily done if we understand what other similar-sized businesses in a similar sector are also paying their staff.
Because what was interesting was that a lot of people found out that their co-workers were being paid more with them just through casual conversation. How do people even find out if they aren't being paid fairly?
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing, is it's not the employer and the employee generally having the conversation. It is the coffee room chat. It is the water cooler talk where people, when they're feeling comfortable enough with each other, will either inadvertently or quite openly share what they're on. So we've got to be able to do better that the employer can have that transparency, that accountability, that they are a good employer. And part of the way that they're a good employer is that they have their staff on living wages, and that there's a reasonable expectation of where their pathway for their career, as well as their pathway in terms of remuneration, can go.
How do you think the effects of COVID-19 will now impact how people address pay disparity?
Yeah, look, I think that it's a double-edged sword. So there was a lot of information that came out internationally through the UN around the real risk of this international pandemic putting equality for women and for people of various ethnic groups backwards. So there's a huge risk that when you have these massive worldwide issues, that things move backwards. And that's what we need to stay on guard and be protective of it occurring with our political decision making, with our financial decision making. The other thing that I think that our particular country has as an advantage is that we had come through this in a way that isn't echoing what the rest of the world is potentially experiencing. So we need to be able to not be complacent that she'll be right, which is one of our faults, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be brave and commit to transforming some things that we see as complete barriers to community happiness and to communities reaching their potential. One of them happens to be economic security, and that the pay that people are receiving is at the minimum a living wage so they can live. We need to start prioritising quality of life over and above a capitalist model, which is unfortunately what we're under.
That was Lisa Lawrence, the president of the National Council of Women in New Zealand. I had to cut the interview short for time, but she also mentioned that a good way to get involved with mitigating unequal pay in New Zealand is to lobby your local MPs, especially because the election is creeping up on us and we've got to get out there and vote. Thanks to Lisa for chatting.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.